comes from Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of a church sins against me, how often shall I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus says to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves, whom he began to do the reckoning. One who had owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and he could not pay. His Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all of his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But the same slave, as he went out, came upon his fellow slave who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, said, 'Pay me what you owe.' And then his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. And he went and he threw him into prison until he can pay his debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you have not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." The word of God for the people of God. There was a pastor who at the very end of his service, he says, "How many of us have need to forgive our enemies?" And half of the hands went up. So he repeated the question. "How many of us have need to forgive our enemies?" And all of the hands went up except one little lady. So the pastor addressed her. "Miss Neely, don't you need to forgive your enemies?" She says, "No, I don't have any." He says, "Miss Neely, that's unusual, and that's pretty rare not to have any enemies. May I ask how old you are?" She says, "I'm 98. He said, "Miss Neely, would you please come on down to the front and tell this congregation how a 98-year-old woman doesn't have one enemy in the world. Come on." And she tottered down the aisle. And when she got to the end of the aisle, he turned her around to face the congregation, handed her a microphone, and she says, "I don't have any enemies because I outlived them all." Back in May, when I was thinking about what I would prepare for each week, in the first month, God told me to prepare the month talking about love. And for this month, he told me to talk about forgiveness. And so I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, "Let it go." Can I hear you say that?
Let it go.
Say it like you mean it.
Let it go.
And that's what I want to challenge our thinking with this morning. I'm going to ask 3 questions. Why is forgiveness so hard? Why is forgiveness necessary? And what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is so hard because as human beings, we're hardwired to retaliate. Amen?
Amen?
When someone does something to us, we want to retaliate. When our pride and our self-esteem has been injured, we want to retaliate. When our dreams and our expectations have been frustrated by the hand of someone else, We want to be compensated for those damages. And we say things like, I'm not going to forgive them because they don't deserve my forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive them because they know what they did. I'm not going to forgive them because they're really not sorry for what they've done. Anybody, does this sound familiar to anybody? And for us tough guys, I'm not going to forgive because forgiveness is for weak people. We say things like that. But these are some of the reasons why forgiveness is so hard. Why is forgiveness necessary? In order for us to have the right relationship with God, we have to wear forgiveness like a garment. Scripture says that if we have an aught against our brother or our sister, we are to go and be recounseled to them before we bring our offering to God. Forgiveness is necessary. Jesus taught his disciples, forgive those, forgive their debts as we forgive our debtors. You just heard the scripture, Matthew 6, verses 14 through 15. It says that if we forgive those who sin against us, our Heavenly Father will forgive our sins. But it also says if we don't forgive the sins of those who sin against us, God won't forgive our sins. Touch the person next to you and say, forgiveness is necessary. Forgiveness is necessary. I didn't say it was easy. I said it's necessary. When we look at this particular text, Peter is putting a limitation on forgiveness. Peter says, well, Lord, how many times am I supposed to forgive? Seven times? And the reason why Peter said seven times, the Jewish law said you only had to forgive three times. So Peter thought he was being very generous when he said seven times. And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. Let me ask a question. Who has offended you 490 times? Anybody? They actually have some names over here. We're going to put an offering plate and you can write those names in there. And Jesus says, in essence, Peter, don't count. You're not being generous. Don't count. Love covers a multitude of sins. Forgive. And then he tells them this parable. He says, it's like a king. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle his accounts with his slaves. He said, one guy owed this master a lot of money. He could have never paid it. The master could have taken his family as slaves and could have put this man in prison for the rest of his life. But the man pleaded with him. And the Lord said, I'm going to forgive your debt. He didn't say he owed him anything else. He forgave the debt, set the man free. In essence, he let it go. He owed him a lot of money, but he let it go. And then in verse 28, it says, but. Now, you know something's getting ready to happen, right? It says, but. The forgiven servant found his fellow servant, grabbed him in the throat and told him, pay me what you owe me now. And he did what that man did, fell to his knees and asked him to be patient, said, I'll pay you. But he had him thrown into prison. He couldn't let it go. He couldn't let it go. You see, when we are in an unforgiven state, it's like being on a hook. But on that hook is also the offender. So wherever you go, the offender goes with you. And the only way to be released is you have to let the offender off first. And I know some of you are saying, that's hard. I didn't say it was easy. But the cost of not letting the offender go is perhaps a lifetime of pain. Amen? You start carrying something around and it's about this big. You keep on holding on to it and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. And you're walking around with luggage that you don't need to carry because you have an unforgiven spirit. Let me get back to the story. Jesus is telling the story. And he says the other slaves heard what this guy had done, and they were angry about it. They were distressed about it. And so they went back to the Lord and told him what this forgiven slave had done. And the master summoned him, revoked what he had said earlier, and had the man placed into prison because he didn't have the right heart to forgive someone else of a smaller debt. And Jesus says to Peter and to his disciples, this is what my Father will do to each one of us if we don't forgive. Sometimes we think in forgiving that we're letting someone walk all over us because we've forgiven them. My friends, I want you to forgive because I want you to be set free. When we hold on to stuff, it begins to have power over us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all see folks that come to church and look like they've eaten 100 lemons? Because it's an unforgiven spirit that's there. Forgiveness is really not for the other person as much as it is for us. Because when we forgive, we're set free. God wants us to be set free. And so he says to us, let it go. You're holding on to past hurts. Let it go and let God in. You're holding on to a broken relationship. Let it go. Let God in. Someone doesn't treat you right, can't love you back, can't see your worth. Let them go and then let it go. Let God in. Let it go. You work in a dead-end job. It's not respecting your talents, your gifts. It's time to what?
Let it go.
Let it go and let God in. Whatever you're facing today, I want you to let it go and let God in. God will do a great work and your heart will become glad again. And maybe we'll really look like the children of God. Amen? Let it go. Whatever it is that you're going through. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. But let it go. Maybe you're holding on to stuff with even family members. Let it go. You know, I can remember my mom talking about family members, and they don't really like us because they're wealthy and we're not, and so we don't talk. Let it go. After the funeral, we divide the money up, and they didn't get their, I didn't get my part, and let it go. Some of us are trapped because of stuff. And God wants us to let it go. My friends, when we let it go, we let God in. And God can then begin to do a great work in us. Amen?
Amen.
Would you take the hand of the person next to you? And we do this so that we can touch and agree, because we never know what the person next to us is going through. Everybody looks great on the outside, but what's really going on the inside? And so let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for a simple message and letting it go. We thank you for the ways that you told Peter not to even count how many times. And so, Father, we thank you for that. Give us the power and the strength to let it go. Father, I thank you for Providence United Methodist Church. Let us continue to be a beacon on a hill, a light to those who need this church. Thank you for all of the leadership in this place. Father, we pray for our sick and our shut-in that you might have your way in their lives today. We pray for those who might be grieving the loss. Only you can chase away the dark clouds. Lord, draw close to us. Help us to experience that love and that peace. And Lord, we would be so careful to give you the praise. For it's in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.